really, let me see if I have my, I don't know if I have my microphone is on. Okay. Tonight we are on the book of Haggai, and you find that book very close to the end of the Old Testament in your Bible. And this is our study, and the book will teach us the Lord Jesus Christ, the restorer of our inheritance. That's the key thought, and we're going to arrive to that key thought in the study. As we go to the introduction of our book, we make a review of the series progression that we have done, and we study Genesis, and Genesis was Christ is the seed of the woman. We study the book of Exodus, and Christ is the Passover lamb. We study the book of Leviticus, the high priest. We study the book of Numbers, the brazen altar. The book of Deuteronomy, the prophet. The book of Joshua, the savior of our soul. The book of Judges is the judge and lawgiver. The book of Ruth is the kinsman redeemer, remember? And 1st and 2nd Samuel, Samuel prays, so Jesus, there is a picture, the intercessor. 1st Kings, 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles is the reigning king, talking about the kingdoms of the earth. And then Ezra, as you know, Ezra was a scribe, Christ is a faithful scribe. The book of Jeremiah, the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah built the wall, so Jesus is the builder of the wall. And the book of Esther, we have a man there by the name Mordecai, and Jesus is greater than Mordecai. In the book of Job, we have the healer of our soul, as Jesus produced the healing. In the book of Psalm, we took Psalm 23, and Jesus is the shepherd of Israel. In the book of Proverbs, Jesus is the wisdom of God. In the book of Ecclesiastes, he is the fear of God. In the book of the Song of Solomon, evidently, he is the bridegroom. In Isaiah, Jesus is the Messiah of Israel. In the book of Jeremiah, he is the weeping prophet. In the book of Ezekiel, he is the Jehovah of the Old Testament. And the book of Daniel, he is the kings of kings. And the book of Hosea, remember, he was commanded to remain married. He is the eternal husband. In the book of Joel, he is the day of the Lord. And then in the book of Amos, he is the burden bearer. And now we got the book of Amos in. In the book of Obadiah, he is the great foreign missionary. In the book of Jonah, he is the savior of my soul. In the book of Micah, he is the messenger. And the book of Nahum, he is the avenger. In the book of Habakkuk, he is the evangelist. And in the book of Zephaniah, he is the one who is mighty to save. And so, look, we have done tremendous study, about 32 of them already, and there are very few more, about three more to do, and we complete the Old Testament. And then when I complete it, I handle to you a page with a meaning in each one of these, so you can write in pencil on the top of your Bible, so at least you have a clue where the Bible teaches Jesus in the Old Testament. Now we go to the general discussion, and in this study we're going to have the book of Haggai, and it is relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not so much to the prophecy of Haggai, but how can we get Jesus in the prophecy of Haggai? Now this is the very basic, but if you turn your Bible to Luke chapter 24, you will find out that Jesus is speaking to how many people in Luke 24, 27? To two people. They were coming in for Emmaus. they were coming from Jerusalem to the city of Emmaus from 2,000 feet high down. And in verse 27, these people didn't know that Jesus was among them. I can't realize this, but they were talking together. They were so upset about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, and they do not recognize Jesus. Even they told him, how come you don't know what happened in Jerusalem? And the Bible said in verse 27 of Luke 24, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he is Jesus, expounded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. And so Jesus opened their eyes by expanding the scripture to them. Now, if you go to Luke chapter 24 and verse 44, Jesus talking to the 11 disciples. And in verse 44, he says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things might be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, that the first five books of the Bible, and in the prophets, and in the law concerning me. And so Jesus opened the way by saying, the Bible speak about me. Then in John Gospel, in chapter 5 of John Gospel, in verse 39, you will find over there what the scripture teaches. Jesus is talking to Pharisees, and they were arguing about the law. And look at what Jesus said. He said, search the scripture, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are which testify of me. You serve the scripture. You don't believe me? You serve the scripture. But the text that sold me to make this series of study for 35 classes is the book of Hebrews 10 and verse 7. It's so overwhelming in Hebrews 10 and in verse 7. The Bible says, and then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will of God. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will. And so what is the volume of the book that the scripture is talking about? It's your Bible. Your Bible has 39 books in the Old Testament. How many in the new one? 27. Very easy. 39. 3 times 9, 27. 27 in the New Testament. All right? And so in the volume of the book, it is written of me. So now, with that basis, they are concerned from all this year has been in the study of 32 Sundays already, in the study of Jesus in the Old Testament. Let's find out some specific information about Haggai, which is the book that give us the eternal inheritance. Look in chapter 1 in Haggai, and I wrote for you Haggai here in Hebrew. You see, this is Ha, this is the H, and this is the A, all right, A, and this is the G, and this is the A. This is double G, but to put the double G, you put the dot in the middle, and it means you repeat the letter, and this is the I. Haggai. In the Hebrew, they pronounce it this way. The H at the beginning is mute, and so they pronounce it Ageo. That's the way they pronounce it in the Hebrew. Now, Haggai means my feast. The word my is I. And I at the end, that's the yota. Remember, Jesus said, no, even a yota will pass from the law. That's the yota, a smaller letter in the Hebrew alphabet. When you put that at the end, that means mine. And so feast is ageo, is feast, and I is my feast, all right? Now, that's so much for the name. Now, the time it is. If you see in chapter 1, verse 1, we read, in the second year of Darius, the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest. And so we know that this is after the exile, because they said the second year of Darius the king. Now, Darius was the person who allowed Israel to come in into the land. If you go to Ezra chapter 5 in verse 1, you will see over there the mentioning of this discussion about Haggai. Let me get into Ezra so that we can read it, okay? Okay, let's see. Got it here. I got a Bible, so Ezra is in the Bible. Okay, Ezra chapter 5, in verse 1. Now look at what the Bible says. Then the prophets, Ezra making a recount of the people that came to Jerusalem, then the prophet, Haggai the prophet, and Zechariah the son of Iddo, prophesy unto the Jews. So we know that the time is when Israel was 70 years in captivity in the Chaldean territory, and then Darius, by grace, let Israel come back. Nehemiah and Ezra came first, but then also Haggai and Zechariah, the next book, they came in. So Haggai and Zechariah were contemporaries. They preached at the same time, and they preached right in between September 15 to October 15, about 520 B.C. Because remember, the first, the Hebrew, they don't have a month like you have January, February. That's a Catholic nominations of the month. And also, January 1st is not January 1st. The first day of the year is March 15. March 15 to April 15 is the first month of the year, exactly. And so when the Bible talks about the 4 month, 5 month, all start in March 15 to April 15. So as you read Ezra, September 15 to October 15 is when the event took place. All right? Now, next to this, we have to whom is addressed. If you look in chapter 1, and the Bible tells you to whom he addressed the prophecy. See, in the second year of Darius, the king, in the sixth month, in the first day, so 6 months from March, you got to September, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, the son of Haggai the prophet, unto Zerubbabel. So the prophecy, and who is Zerubbabel? He's the governor of the people. So the prophecy was to the people and also to Joshua. And who is Joshua? Joshua is the high priest. Now, in the Jewish law, the high priest is the highest authority. All right? He can dispose of life also. So the prophecy is addressed to the people and to the religious people this way. Now, the purpose of the prophecy is, see, and I'm going to read verse 3 to 7, and you will see what the purpose is. The Bible says in Haggai chapter 1, verse 3, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you, O ye that dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lies waste. Now, therefore, thus said the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. You know what that means? Like if you make a lot of money, but you spend it, then your money never stay with you. Look at verse 7. Thus said the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now, these people came out of exile, they're supposed to build the house of the Lord. Israel has a command to worship God in the house. The house of the Lord was abandoned. Nehemiah started the walls, and Nehemiah started the foundation, and nobody worries anymore. Everybody was worried about their houses and was spending their money, and but they were not satisfied. See, they got clothing and still call. They got money, but they still had no money. You know, I know a lot of people, they earn a lot of money, but they don't hold any money because, see, if you don't dedicate it to the Lord, if you're a Christian, and if you don't give to the Lord first, then whatever you earn is going to go. And whatever you have is not going to be a satisfaction to you. And so here is the beauty. Haggai is reproaching. He said, you people are no, you're worried about yourself. You need to finish the temple. You need to complete the house of the Lord. And you have plenty for yourself. All right? So that is, in general, the specific information. Now, let's go now to the message. The message is beautiful. Now, in chapter 2, I'm going to get the message in chapter 2. The divine presence will give a strength to you. Look at chapter 2. Let me start reading in verse 1. In the seventh month, in the 120th day of the month came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? That means Solomon's temple. And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Look at verse 4. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, said the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Zadok, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, say the Lord, and work, for I am with you, said the Lord of the hosts. So what is the strength of the new house? What the scripture said? God with you. God with you. How God is with you? Where is God in you? What part of God is in you? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. So here, I can see in Haggai, I can smell in Haggai, how Haggai, without knowing, is forecasting the strength. Is not. So do you saw the first house? It was glorious. Solomon Temple will be one of the seven wonders of the world of glory. He said, what is this house? Nothing. But be strong. Don't get discouraged, because I'll be with you. Wow. I'll be with you. See, God in Solomon's temple was in the temple. Was not with the people. Was in the temple. But now God said, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. All right? That's the strengthening part. First part of the sermon. Second part of the sermon is divine power. Look at in chapter 2, now verse 5. According to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. And look at verse 6. For thus said the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land. Wow. You know what it is? That's Christmas Day. It's in a little while, guys, you wait, you return here, you are here, but in a little while, the whole earth will be shaken. And when Jesus was born, he was a little baby. But we read in the 4 o'clock class, the Herod was panicked. He was, yes.
Did they have scuba gear back then?
I don't know that. But
number 2. This is diving, not divine.
Diving power.
Sorry, I didn't catch it.
Who wrote that? He transferred. He maybe missed it. Divine. Divine power, or whether it's diving or not, it's divine power, all right? And it said, Brother Greg, don't do that. Okay, and I tell you, it's... I wrote it, but he transferred. Now then, the key is this. You can have a glorious house, building, but no power. But God is strengthened. And who found it? Jimmy had found it? All right. Okay. Now, let's go to number 3. See if we find another diving thing. All right. Divine glory filling the house. Look at in verse 7. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, said the Lord of hosts. Now, when God fills you, he don't fill you just with his presence. He fills you with his glory. Woo! That's serious. Boys and girls, when God, if you believe in the Lord Jesus, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's not just a saying, a philosophy. You got the glory of God within you. The glory of God within you. That's what God said. If God is with you, who will be against you? Remember in Romans? If God is with you, you got the glory of God. As long as you're doing what God wants to you, God's opened the door. I always said to people, anything can be done if this is the will of God. If it's not the will of God, it's going to be shut off. But if it's the will of God, and in mysterious ways, get done. All right? I will be with you. And then the final point that I want to make is divine peace. All right? divine peace is coming. Look at in verse 9. The glory of this later house shall be greater than of the former. I tell you, Nehemiah's temple was insignificant compared to Solomon's temple. Now, why the scripture said the glory of this house is greater than the other? You know what he's saying to the people? Haggai said, guys, I know. Some of you, your grandparents told you about the temple of Solomon. Now, 70 years, so this must be the grandchildren that came back. All right, your grandparents told you about how precise were the stones, that each one fit together, and how the on the windows they were done perfect. The no hammer was used to mold the stones. Remember, Solomon did it all in a drawing outside, and they brought the stones. I don't know how they did it without machine. They brought the stone and they put it there, and everything fit together. Your grandparents told you about the glorious splendor, the marble and the floor and the steps to the altar and so on. He said, that's nothing. Don't be afraid. The glory of this second one is going to be greater than the first. So the glory of the second one is not in the building. Where is it? It's in the people. It's in the people. Each one of you believers, I do appreciate it because you represent the glory of God to me, each one of you. And when we are in church, whether this is full like this morning, it was packed, or like this evening, we still glory because each one of you have the glory of God. Right in the street. We have to build a new church to hold more people, but that's not the church. The building is not the church. What is the building? You. You are the building, and you are the glory of God. So don't walk sad, don't walk depressed, and don't walk defeated, because within you, you have the glory of God. So the glory of the second, said the scripture, the second is much better than the glory of the first. So have to be not in the second building made, have to be in the building that was made later on when Jesus Christ died. So I'm going to close with the Gospel with the Gospel of John. Our inheritance is restored. And hear this. Thank you, brother. He added, put it together. Look at John 2, verse 18 to 22. The Jew therefore answered and said to him, what sign do you show to us, seeing that you do these things? And Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple in 3 days, and I will raise it up. Now, he was talking about the building. And the Jew therefore said, it took 46 years to build the temple. So now we know how long it took to build Nehemiah's temple, the second temple, 46 years. And will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said this, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had spoken. See, the first temple do not have a resurrected Savior. They have a Savior, but no resurrected Savior. The second temple have a resurrected Savior. And you, if you're a believer, you're a resurrected person. You have your soul being resurrected. If you die today, you will be where? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:8 said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. It's glory. The Old Testament people cannot say that. They had to go to the bosom of Abraham, and they had to wait until the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ to be present with the Lord. So I tell you, what a remarkable salvation we have. Haggai is saying, hey, let's take care of our temple. Let's build our temple. Now, question to you. Questions before we finish. How do we build? Now that we know the temple is us, how do we build this temple to show the glory of God? We dress well. You read the word of God. That's one way to build the temple. What other way? You pray. That's a way to build the temple inside, to build what you have inside. You read the word of God. You pray. Pardon me, brother? You follow the will of God. You're going to do something. You find in the Bible that is, all right? So, I plan to disobey my mother today. Let's find in the Bible where you can disobey your mother. If you find the Bible that you cannot disobey your mother, you do not disobey the mother, and you build your temple. All right? All right? God said that you pray before dinner. Remember in Ephesians 5:20, he said that you had give thanks for everything. So, you pray, see? And you are building the temple of God. One time, we went to a restaurant, Hilton Hotel in Oakland. My wife and I bow and pray. And the mayor of the city of Oakland was there with an officer and their pastor. And they were praying over there before. But we pray. And when we pray, I guess the pastor cannot hold it anymore. So he got out of his table, went to our table, said, "Are you believers?" He said, "Are you a pastor?" "Yes, I'm a pastor. Here's the mayor, here this and the other. Thank you very much." He said, "That's good to have prayer. And we are believers." You see, the glory of God is moving the hearts of people as you share your life with others. So you read the Bible. You pray, you do the will of God. What Solomon said as he closed Ecclesiastes in the summary, he said, the summary of everything is this: fear God, and keep His commandment. That's it. That's the glory of God. See, the old people, they had to do a sacrifice. What Romans 12 in verse 1 and 2 said? That we have to do a sacrifice, okay? Present your body as a living sacrifice. You can see Haggai foreseeing the glory of the new temple. And this new church, this new temple, will not be destroyed until the Lord comes and take His church with Him. How beautiful. How beautiful. Thank you, Father, for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus and for the inheritance of life everlasting that we have received through Christ Jesus. And thank you for Haggai, who told the people that the glory will be manifested in a greater way later on. Thank you for these prophecies. Thank you that we understand the glory of Jesus through this book. In Jesus we pray and thank you. Amen. God bless you.